Hallelujah. For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. Amen. The season of giving gifts is upon us, isn't it? Have you begun to make your list of those gifts that you intend to make or to give to those you care about? Have you begun to make your list of your personal wishes if someone were to give you a gift this Christmas? I suppose none of us expects to receive any gifts this year from a king or a queen. But what kind of gifts would you expect to receive if royalty were within your circle of friends and family? This Sunday is Christ the King Sunday. And we've been reminded how Jesus is our King. In fact, he's been King reigning on his throne since before the creation of the world and will be King all the way into eternity. In our gospel lesson, we saw that moment when perhaps during the entire life of Jesus Christ, this is the one moment when he looked least like a king. Though it said king above his head, he was mocked as a king by those who stood around him and even by the criminals that hung next to him. But in his dying moments, one of those criminals saw Jesus as he truly is, saw Jesus as a king, pleaded for his mercy, and Jesus revealed himself as that king when he assured that dying man that he would indeed be in his kingdom. That day he would be with Jesus in paradise. With eyes of faith, you and I also see Jesus as a king. And not just any king, we see him as our king. And so today we have reason for thanksgiving. We have reason for celebration because as unexpected and as undeserved as they may be, we have gifts from the King. Of course, just as we probably wouldn't expect or claim to deserve gifts from any earthly royalty, even more, we have no right to claim any gifts from Christ, our King. Our text reminds us of that in several ways. First of all, it says that we were once part of the dominion of darkness. Darkness is a very familiar picture for sin in the Bible. If you are in complete darkness, you struggle, don't you? No way of knowing which way you're going. You might easily become disoriented. You might very easily stumble and fall. Perhaps there are dangers lurking around you that you don't even know are there because you can't see them. Well, that begins to describe who we were apart from Jesus' light. But it was actually even worse than that. It wasn't just that we were surrounded by darkness. Darkness had dominion over us. It ruled in our hearts. And so we were totally lost. We groped about doing things our own way and foolishly believing that we were going the right way. We had no spiritual sense of direction. And so we wandered aimlessly, far from the loving rule of Christ, our King. In fact, instead of being ruled by Christ, we were enslaved to sin and to Satan. The first people that God created way back there at the beginning of time, they had freedom. They were free to worship and serve God day after day after day. But then they disobeyed him. And everything changed. Their freedom was gone. They became slaves to sin, slaves to Satan. And ever since then, free will no longer exists, not in spiritual things. And the Bible says that we are either slaves to sin or we are slaves to God and slaves to righteousness. By nature, from our birth, we are slaves to sin. Our minds and our hearts were controlled by our sinful nature when we were born. As a slave dares never disobey his or her master, so by nature we wanted to do nothing but sin. We lived to serve ourselves. We defined our own morality by what made us feel good, by what benefited us. And while we imagined that we were completely in control of our own lives, we were kings of our own lives and slaves to no one, we unknowingly served sin and Satan in everything we did. And as we serve self, and as we serve sin, and as we serve Satan, our attitudes and our actions made us enemies of God. Later in this chapter, Paul says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. Our sin put an impenetrable wall between us and God. We were shut out of heaven and we deserved more of God's wrath and his punishment every day. No, we don't deserve any gifts from the King. Not by nature. Nor do we deserve anything from the King when we reject his rule in our lives still today. As our King, Christ doesn't put up with lip service. He won't tolerate it when we claim to agree with what he says about what's right for our lives, but then we go off and do our own thing, thinking that we're somehow keeping it a secret from him. Christ won't put up with divided devotion between his rule and our own self-serving priorities. Jesus is not going to settle for second place in our lives to anything or anyone else. And when we realize that Christ, our King, has absolute power and absolute authority, and we look at all of the demands of perfect devotion that God wants from us, we should be left trembling in fear and begging for mercy. But there's good news this morning, my friends. The good news is that Christ is not just another king. He is no typical king. Instead of wrath and punishment, you and I have gifts from the King. And what amazing gifts those gifts are. St. Paul assures us he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Christ the King gives us the gift of rescue. When we were ruled by darkness, unbelief, and sin, Jesus rescued us. Now think about it. How does a king rescue somebody from the power of a tyrannical enemy? Well, that king goes into enemy territory, and he fights a battle, and he wins. That's just what Jesus did for us. He came and he entered our world of darkness. He fought temptations every day of his life and he won. He was wounded and darkness appeared to win the day as he hung dying on that cross of Calvary. But the victory was his. He rescued us from the dominion of darkness when the light of Easter morning shone on his empty tomb. And he showed himself for 40 days alive in this world before he ascended to rule once again from his heavenly throne. Christ, our King, has rescued us from death and darkness. And so now they have no dominion over us. Us who have seen and we trust in our risen and reigning King. Now Christ the King, the beloved Son of God, rules us with love and mercy, blessing us with his tremendous gifts. Another of those wonderful gifts from the King is redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Another word for redemption is ransom, a price paid to set someone free. For us, it was our sin that enslaved us, but Christ paid the price. He paid the price to set us free from sin and all of its consequences, from sin and its guilt and its punishment. And the price that he paid was his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. No sinful human life would have been enough. Anything less than the holy life of God himself would have left a debt outstanding. But Christ is true God and true man in one person. He's holy and blameless, so that his perfect sacrifice was enough to pay the price required, the ransom to set every sinner free from death's clutches, to pardon every sin and forgive every offense. With that awesome gift of forgiveness and redemption comes perhaps the greatest of the gifts from Christ, our King. St. Paul assures us that the God was pleased through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Christ the King gives us the gift of reconciliation, of perfect peace with God. We who by our sins are made enemies of God have been reconciled to him by the precious blood of Christ, our King. He bridged that gulf between sinful humans and a holy God when he took on human flesh. And by his life, his death, and his rising again to life, he clothed that human flesh in his own righteousness. He restored the relationship between God and man that was ruined ever since the fall into sin. Sisters and brothers, the gifts from the King don't stop there either. Now that he's brought us into his kingdom, rescuing us from darkness, redeeming us from our slavery to sin, and reconciling us to God, he continues to bless us as he rules all things for the benefit of his people, us, his chosen people. And St. Paul writes, he is the head of the body, the church. He guides and he directs us, ruling us not as a cruel dictator, but as a loving head. He rules in our hearts by his wonderful word and sacraments. He preserves us and he protects us with his infinite power and his wisdom. He turns even hardship and heartache into blessings for us. He uses even pain and problems and persecution to serve our good. And we're confident that he can work against all odds to do those things for us because he has supreme authority. He has control over all things as King over King, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Our lesson reminds us, by him all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. In everything, he has the supremacy. For God is pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. Christ, the King, who has brought us into his kingdom of grace and promises to bring us into his kingdom of glory in heaven, is ruling all things by his kingdom of power right now. And he's doing it for our benefit. to show his perfect love for us. Through him we have blessing after blessing, gift after glorious gift, not only for this life but for eternity. Gift of rescue, redemption, reconciliation, and his loving rule. It's appropriate that our celebration of this Christ the King Sunday falls in this week in which we also celebrate Thanksgiving. As we reflect on all of the wonderful blessings that God has given to us, may we be thankful not only for the way in which Christ rules, but also for the wonderful gifts that he gives to us. Rescue, redemption, reconciliation, and his awesome gift of rule. Wonderful gifts from the King that are yours. Amen. Please stand. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.